Good evening. Thank you, Brother Robert, for leading us in those songs. I'm not certain how this works, but if I would have called Robert and told him to lead a song before the lesson, it would have been the one he just led. We're glad you're here. We have visitors, always thankful for your presence and thankful for the good members of the congregation that are faithful to the Lord and to study these words. Got a few, I guess, corrections some of the sick. I apologize that I didn't get this written out. I'm not very good at doing that. But Hannah has had setbacks all along, and she's had another setback. And Hannah, I say that. She's laughing at me. Emily. I mix them up when Anna's around. Every now and then I'll get Emily mixed up with my sister. But it's this one right here in the front here next to Charlotte. Okay. That's Hannah. But Emily is back on the ventilator. And her lungs are very weak. And they try to wean her off the ventilator, and she's not able to make it. Her lungs are not strong enough. And she has to get strong enough to expel different things that are in her lungs. Right now she has something out in there sucking it out, but in order to get off the ventilator, she has to breathe on her own. So they may tomorrow, I don't know for certain, but it appears that they're going to do I'm going to abbreviate it as a surgery that we would call a trach surgery. You're probably acquainted with that. And that will give her more air. They usually do that, at least from reading, when you cannot get off the ventilator, even after a week or two. And tomorrow begins, actually, today begins the fourth week. It's a long, long time, so remember her in prayers. And Eric was scheduled to go home. We probably sent a message of Richard. But again, you never know what's going to happen. Eric is doing good. I talked to him this afternoon. But he is still in the hospital. He expects to go home tomorrow. The reason he had to stay is he, you know, had some small blood clots, and they wanted him to stay over a little longer and give him medicine to help dissolve those blood clots. But Eric's doing good. He will go to my brother Dusty's house and they have to stay there because it's sort of like when Lee received a liver. They have to go back continually, somewhat on a weekly basis, and then begin to draw it out. And after about a year, then he would not have to go back so regularly. So we appreciate the prayers. Talking to Eric, I just can't imagine what it would be like to receive an entire new heart. Can you imagine that, huh? I can't imagine that. But I think we maybe put it in one of the notes that was sent out by Richard. The doctor told him that he had a strong heart. So they don't tell him the background of the people that it came out of and what happened, but Eric's been very blessed. So remember these in your prayers. And one other one, and this is not to take away from anybody, but it's actually Parker. Amelia Green. Amelia's the middle name. Parker. So I wanted to clarify that. This comes from Charlotte and from Hannah sitting right here in the front. See, I got them right, correct? And this is Lonnie over here. If you don't know Lonnie, we missed him this morning. And always miss Lonnie. This morning, we were talking about the great struggle that we are in as Christians. We are in a struggle with the devil, not only in our country, but throughout the entire world. The good news is we can't lose, okay? We can't lose. I've mentioned this, but I'll say it again. We have some that probably never heard it. When I was growing up, we used to toss a bat and go like this, maybe send that, and see who gets to choose first. Because we would have maybe 10 of us in the neighborhood and 5 on each team. And I'm just a little, I'm I'm the shortest, smallest, lightest person in the neighborhood for my age and in the school. And so I'm hoping to get on Tommy's team because Tommy's team is going to win, okay? Tommy never loses. Tommy, he was so good playing baseball. I really believe if he would have tried, he could have done it for a living. I never knew anybody that could throw a ball better than him, further than him, a better curveball, or hit the ball over the home as a home run than Tommy. And so we're picking up sides. And, you know, if he picks me, he's usually one of the captains. He picks me, I'm thinking, now this is good. And the good news is we can't lose, okay? They could kill us. They can threaten us, try to frighten us. They can burn our houses down, but we cannot lose. And that's the good news. And when we leave here, we need to always keep that in mind. The apostles had that kind of faith. The apostles believed that Jesus was the Lord. He's called the Lord Jesus Christ over and over and over in the New Testament. And we cannot lose. In Revelation chapter 17, he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And then in Revelation chapter 19, it's reversed, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So do not become discouraged. We cannot lose the battle. But we have to fight the battle, don't we? We have to fight the battle. I'm talking about this congregation, God's people throughout the earth. We have to stand up for Jesus and not be ashamed of Jesus. I've noticed changes in Bristol since I've lived here. And a lot of the changes are not good. There are more and more people that are against God. There are more and more people that believe in the sins that we've talked about this morning, and they'll stand up for a sinful world. And they will hate those that are children of God. The Bible teaches in 1 John chapter 3, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. It's expected that we will be hated. That's strange, isn't it? Isn't it strange that the ones that are trying to do right, the ones that have the moral standard of the universe given to us by God in His Word, isn't that strange that those are the ones that are persecuted, those are the ones that are hated, but it all comes from the devil. Long time ago, I studied mathematics some. I'm not very good at it. I was able to get through a long time ago. And I've often thought about if a book was ever written about what's going on in the world, and there are many that have been written. I have brought one with me tonight to maybe read a few passages. I think I would call it The Missing Variable. And the missing variable is that people do not believe that the devil is out there. And people's eyes are closed to the fact that he is causing all of this trauma, all of this that you see on a daily basis in our nation, all this hatred and the shootings and the murders and the attempted assassinations, that's all from the devil. And I do want to say it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. I appreciate the prayer tonight and all the prayers, praying for our country. We need to do that. I remember years ago when my older sister was alive, she kind of put me to shame because talking to her upon one occasion, she said, her husband's name was Larry, said, me and Larry pray every single night for our nation. And I'd say if there's ever a time to pray for it, it would be now. Because the devil has to destroy God's people. That's ultimately. You may not think that we're strong in this country, but the devil, that's what he must do. And he will not be able to do that. I don't believe he'll be able to do that because Christians are not going to back down. Even if it takes dying, Christians are not going to back down. This has been faced before. It was done throughout the centuries with Rome, and with the great apostasy, in the Dark Ages, and it's still taking place. Christians don't quit and they don't give up. So we know that we're going to win. And we were looking at some passages, looking at some passages in the book of Proverbs on things that we are to keep. And I mentioned that when you read about these things, if you'll just take and start with chapter 1, I'm going to encourage you to do this. Maybe do it through chapter 9. I would encourage you to read it and just underline, if not in your book, in the Bible, but underline it in your mind. You underline that word keep. And there are things that Christians keep. The wisdom here is sound wisdom for all time. There are things that we are to keep. And then when we read the book of Proverbs, it says that when we keep those things, they keep us. They guard us. They help us. They protect us. They strengthen us. I had originally about, I guess, 8 different things from Proverbs going through chapter 6 to keep. And you'll have to forgive me, but when I start talking about this subject, it's almost impossible for me to skip some verses, all right? I'm sorry, that's the way it is. So we're going to look at this subject, and we want to begin with Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to begin with verse 13, because this paragraph introduces us to this subject that we're talking about, and that is the subject of wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion. And you young people especially, go home and read the book. You don't read it in one night, read so many chapters and read them again and read it again. And of course, it will help all of us. In verse 13 of Proverbs 3, happy is a man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You have a better life. There are too many people that do not want to be happy, are there? I'm sorry to say there are some people in the world that just cannot be happy. They will never be happy. Their attitude is not such that they're really seeking happiness, and that's really sad, isn't it? But generally, most of us all would like to have a good life, happy. I remember years ago, I bought a little book on the Sermon on the Mount when I first started preaching. I think it was just in a bookstore. And it had the Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And what was interesting on it, they had it the Greek and they had it in the English so that you could look at both. I thought that was a wonderful thing. And I noticed that when you read about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Or blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That when you read those things, as you're studying the Bible, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That in this little translation, they said that word meant to be happy. And every time you read the word blessed, you read the word happy. Well, that's kind of in the background of it. It is a blessing, a happiness of peace with God. God gives us peace and comfort. And so we have these blessings, and we're able to go to the God who created the world, who spake and it was done, and he commanded and it stood fast, Psalm 33 and verse 9. And when we feel weak, that's who we need to think about. We need to think about God, because God is never weak, is he? I suppose the weakest time, I guess you could say, was when Jesus was on the cross. And there he was, being reviled, blood coming out of his body. Looked like the whole scheme was folding up. But actually, it was the greatest victory, wasn't it? We could not be redeemed without the precious blood of the Lamb of God. God, he's always strong, even when we're weak. So we're happy people if you listen to God's word. He says in reference to this wisdom, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Length of days. Some teach that, well, that's, you know, more days, and that can be. And others say, well, you have more life in the day that you have, as if you actually had more time in the day. And if you use the wisdom of God, and it's a challenge for all of us. I'm not saying, you know, that I have the wisdom, but this is something that we need to seek. And it's better than other things of a worldly nature. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. When you watch the television this week, and you see all these individuals, and they're screaming and cursing and reviling the law officers, just think about it. There's no good life there. They don't have pleasantness. They're not happy. That's all from the devil. Isn't it so sad that people are so deceived? She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom, I wanted to get to these two verses. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. I cannot imagine. If I live for 1,000 years, I could not imagine and comprehend how God created this great earth. So many things are evolved. At the equator, the earth is spinning 1,000 miles an hour, and that glass is sitting there just as calm as could be. We're spinning, we're going through space. God's in control. He took care of it. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens, by his knowledge. There you have it. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Will you get up in the morning? Have you gotten up here recently and seen the dew? I noticed the weatherman talked about it the other night. Said the dew was really heavy this morning. And sometimes I get up and take little patches out there, and it looks like it rained. God designed all that. That's not accidental. In Hebrews 3 and verse 4, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. God designed and built all things. That's the God we trust. You know, in this chapter, we said, trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. You can't do better than that, really. To trust God in every situation. We have people that were here this morning that cannot be here tonight. I don't know how some of them got here this morning, out of love and conviction, dedication to God, but they can't be here tonight. They're not that well. But they would be here if they could. And we continue to trust God. He is the ruler of all. Now he says in verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Now here it is. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. In other words, when you study God's Word, when you have a good understanding of it, and this would be true of all the Bible, you study the Law of Moses, study the Prophets, study the New Testament, all the way down to the last book, there would be some things, obviously, in my judgment, none of us understand, but you're blessed if you read it, Revelation 1:3. You study these things, you trust God, and then you hang on to it, and you keep it. You just hang in there and keep it no matter what. You don't give up. You persevere. In verse 22, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. So when we're following God's word and we're trusting God's word, wisdom, he says, you're not going to stumble. And he says, in verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Now you notice that word keep? You keep God's sound wisdom and discretion in verse 21. And then he says, the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So that's why we trust in God no matter what. You remember Moses in Psalm 90. it said in verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I wish I would do that more perfectly. It seemed like I failed in that to a great extent. But the teaching is, use your days and your time wisely. Number them. Keep track of them. I try to do that. I lose track. Try to number them. Try to keep track. Apply your heart unto wisdom. There's that word apply that we talked about this morning. We have to apply it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. I believe it was last Sunday night we had a lesson on things to keep. We said we were to keep the unity of the faith. You remember that? We constantly need to keep that in mind, because there's nothing the devil would like to do more than to bring division and trouble and heartache into this congregation. I'm not going to say we do, but because it has generally been so peaceful, we may just kind of take it for granted, but it doesn't happen by accident. Every Christian must strive to be wise and do God's will and to have the right attitude. And here we turn to James chapter 3 and verse 13. And James addresses this. I would call the book of James God's book of Proverbs in the New Testament, all right? It's a book of true religion. It's a book of wisdom from God and trusting God. And he says in James 3 and 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? That's a question. So we look out, who is it that's wise? Well, that's real simple. He says, let him show out of a good conversation, in 16:11, that meant out of a good conduct of life. A good conduct, his works with meekness of wisdom. Just be out there and you demonstrate you're a Christian by your works. And you do it with a mildness, a meekness. You don't quit. You don't give up. Meekness is not weakness, okay? Jesus said, and we referred to this last Sunday night, I believe, that he said, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So we do not fight the word of God. If you want to have a bad life, an unhappy life, you fight what we're talking about tonight. And I'll tell you, I can't tell you the people that I've known that just seem like they're just spit in the face of wisdom. Just seems like whatever the Bible says, they're going to go the opposite. Now, that breaks your heart. But he said, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. The ideal, don't be boasting and be glad in that. And lie not against the truth. So this envy and strife, that's what's in our society, is it not? And I will tell you right now, they are envious of Christians. They're not going to say that. Saul never came out and said, I am envious of David. But I'll tell you what the Bible says about it. It said he had an evil eye. And the story of his life, once he had that evil eye, is a destruction of a man's character and a man's life, maybe his own soul, because of envy for somebody that was on his side. Isn't that something? That's something. That amazes me. So he said, you don't have this envy and then strife back and forth and contention one with another. He said, don't lie against the truth. In other words, be honest about this. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That's what we're seeing. When you see all these people, they're not peacefully protesting. Okay, I have to be plain on this. I don't know which channels you're watching, but you need to watch it where they actually show the people committing violence on law officers. I went through this in the 60s. Some of you younger ones didn't go through that. Some of you didn't go through that because you were born later. But I went through the 60s, and you older ones remember that. And that was a great rebellion against the authority, whether it was the government, the law, the Constitution, or God. You had this great rebellion, and these people are still behind the scenes, and they are still causing that kind of trouble. And we have to face that in a peaceful way. So it is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's why I said, just remember the statement, the missing variable, okay? I haven't heard the news commentators yet come out in the national news and say, now the missing variable is the devil. You need done. But they have gotten to the point. They've changed. For years, I didn't hear them say it was evil. But they're saying now, that's evil. It is evil. We have it in the world. We have it in our society. He said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That makes a better world, doesn't it? And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now here's what's happening that the devil is doing. He does not like the way our government is set up. Now, we've mentioned a little bit about it this morning. It's democratic in the sense that it's self-rule. But it's better than a democracy in that we have a representative government. Greeks didn't have one like that. It's just one man, one vote. But we come from that tradition. They call it Western civilization. And it went from the Greeks to the Romans, and you had the Roman Republic. They had a Senate. Where do you think our founders got the idea to have a Senate? They got it from the Roman Republic. So that's part of Western civilization. And these things were all studied by our founders, and they decided to make this government so that it was representative and designed it in such a way as to pit one side, one part of the government against the other, and try to have a balance of power and not to have a mob rule. We were blessed, in my judgment, by God to have a government like that. And in many ways, it's improved. So we have been blessed with this. I want to read you a few statements from this book I've been reading this week. It's interesting. This book was given to me by Brother Russ Bailey. Some of you knew Brother Bailey well. The title of this book is The Death of the West by Patrick J. Buchanan. You might remember him being in the news for years and years. And he wrote this book, and it was copyrighted in 2002. I don't know when he gave it to me. He gave me several books. And I never did read it, but if I could, I would thank Brother Bailey. So I'm a little bit late on this, but he was ahead on these matters. And in describing what we're talking about, when you see these repeated assaults on the past, there's a name for that. It's called critical theory. And the ideal is if we just attack and we just attack and we say all these things about the government, what are they attacking? They're attacking the authority of the law. That's a God-given thing. And they have this critical mind. Oh, Thomas Jefferson did this. Abraham Lincoln did this. And these people are absolutely ignorant. I probably got 30 books in my library on Abraham Lincoln. And no, I've not read them all, okay? I haven't read them all. But these people are ignorant. They don't have any idea of the greatness. Were they sinful men in some ways? Well, they all have sinned. So this is called a critical theory. And taking down these statutes like they have, a lot of this is done in the East and out West, if you're acquainted with it. He mentions of it. It was going on back here at this time, early in 2000 and afterwards. And he said that by doing this, I like this statement, it is the moral equivalent of vandalizing the graves and desecrating the corpses of its ancestors. When I heard some time ago that they were trying to destroy statues of Jefferson and Lincoln and Washington, if I could have gotten a hold of the sources, I would have told them, I'll buy that one. I'll buy that one, and so they don't destroy it. And then he says this, the ultimate goal is to destroy patriotism. kill the love of country, demoralize the people, deconstruct America. History then will no longer unite and inspire us. See, we were united. Yes, we were united. You take a look at World War II. Yes, we were united. And incidentally, I throw this in, I didn't know it. 1953, Dwight D. Eisenhower ordered every person that was not a lawful citizen in this country, he ordered them to be taken out of this country. Did you know that? In 1953, I didn't know that. But he said, history will no longer unite and inspire us, be depressed and divide us into the children of victims and the children of villains of America's past. So this is all the work of the devil. Really, it's just lies. We know that founders were not perfect. But I want you to see how the devil is working and where these things are coming from. They are coming from Satan. Look at Proverbs 3. Well, under Proverbs 3 and beginning with verse 27. Our time is about gone, but we'll look at this verse. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. You're not going to improve on that, okay? When Jesus was asked, what's the great commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And Mark chapter 12 adds to Matthew's account and it says, with all your strength. And he says, the second is like unto that, or like unto it, and that is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now you compare the love and the peace and happiness of God's children with what you're watching during the week on the television, if you got the right news, okay? I don't know which news you're watching, but they all don't represent it the same way. But the ones, and I skip around. I'm interested in knowing what everybody's doing. So as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So you got these people trying to divide our country, attacking our laws, attacking the lawmakers, attacking the police, the sheriffs. Can you imagine wanting to have less police in our world? Huh? I sure not going to vote for that, but I'll tell you what, the people that vote for that and get it, the Bible teaches you reap what you sow. And you go back and read the book of Hosea. And in Hosea's time, it's sort of like today, he said, you sowed the wind, but you're going to reap the whirlwind. That's what's going to happen in our great cities when they take away from the law enforcement and try to handle criminals by psychological things. It's not going to make it. They will sow the wind and they will reap the whirlwind. I hope we've said something tonight from the book of Proverbs. If you would ask me what would my goal, it would be to study that book. The first 9 chapters, in my judgment, is all an introduction to the book. Then with chapter 10, you have a lot of these separate Proverbs all the way down. And there are 2 other authors at the end, but mostly it's all by Solomon. I encourage you to read it, study it. It'll make you stronger and it'll make you wiser. And we all need that. If there be any that are not Christians, you have to trust in the blood. You have to believe the gospel. And 3 times in the New Testament talks about obeying the gospel. There's something to obey. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I have books that I have read years ago on the subject of universalism. And universalists, we have some in this area. And the universalists say, when it's all over with, everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to go to heaven. But that's not true. Jesus died so everybody could go to heaven. And Jesus died for the sins of everyone. And his grace, his mercy, his blood, the gospel, salvation is offered. I'll tell you this story. On an occasion, in baptizing a precious soul in Christ, it was not asked of me or said of me, but it was asked actually to Charlotte. After baptizing someone in Christ, the question came up, and I didn't hear it until later. Do I owe you anything? That's pretty humble-hearted. Do I owe you anything? And I wish the person had said it to me, because I would have said, no, the debt's already paid. Jesus paid it all. If you've never repented and been baptized into Christ, we encourage you to do that based upon your faith and willingness to confess Him throughout life. If you're an erring child of God and need to come home, we ask you to do that as we stand and sing.